Good morning.
Good morning.
Today's scripture is from the Gospel of John, chapter 6, starting at verse 24. So, when the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum, looking for Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly, I tell you, you are looking for me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For it is on him that God the Father has set his seal." Then they said to him, "What must we do to perform the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." So they said to him, "What sign are you going to give to us then, so that we may see it and believe you? What work are you performing? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Then Jesus said to them, "Very truly, I tell you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." A reading of the word.
Good morning, saints. I want to first start by saying thank you for having me with you today. I'm very excited to be joining you, my friend Kristen, who you're all's pastor, talks you all up so much, and I'm excited to be able to be here and get to know you and see you all and join you. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Sitting in my car the other day, I was struck by a memory of me. Super young, a little annoying, bugging the heck out of my grandparents and my parents every couple of seconds on impromptu road trips. Every couple of seconds, I would say things like, "Whoa, what is that animal over there in the farm?" Or, "How many snakes do you think are in that cornfield?" "Mom, Dad, Nana, Nana, Mom, Dad, Nana, what's going on?" They did their best to answer and entertain my very, very many questions. But usually it would turn into a moment of who's ready for the quiet game? Especially when I would pull out the old favorite of every adult who has ever driven a child, and I'm sure we can all say it together. "Are we there yet?" I said this every 5 minutes for, about 7 hours, give or take. Now that I have three little kiddos of my own, I'm a bit more understanding of the plight of my family members, longing for a little bit of quiet in the back seat of the car. Questions are a wonderful way to learn and observing the world. I'm a big fan of questions. I work with children most of the time in my day job. But, sometimes we get hung up on asking the wrong questions. Wrong questions, yeah, it'll give us information. However, they won't give us wisdom. And they won't always give us what we need to navigate this life on the third rock from the sun. So where does today's message fit in with all of this questioning? For churches that follow the lectionary every 3 years around August, so right now, preachers end up preaching on what is jokingly and lovingly referred to as Bread August. This is the series of passages in John that describe Jesus as the bread of life. And what that actually means for us and for others, and how we can show Jesus as this bread to the world. Now let me tell you something about bread. My husband and I love it. We love bread. Pretty sure you can tell that by this body that's built by bread. I would be happy for a long time on a diet of bread, butter, cheese, fruit, and more bread. I'm pretty sure a lot of you who are nodding in this audience would agree with that too. This might be because we have a child who is super allergic to it, so we don't get it often. But when we have a night to ourselves, all we want to do is lounge and eat bread. And like a lot of people on social media, I follow a bunch of bread accounts. Bakers, pastry artists, cookbook authors. So not only do I love eating bread, I love to follow it. And the Bible shows us that following bread isn't a new thing. The Bread August passages that began a little bit ago with the feeding of the 5,000, a story that most of us are familiar with already. Jesus is feeding a crowd with 5 loaves of bread and a couple of fish. The miracle was so impressive that the surprised crowd is now very full and tries to make Jesus king. But Jesus saw them coming and hid away across the Sea of Galilee. The crowd stayed around, though, having loved lunch so much that they hoped for more the next day. But Jesus didn't return. Soon enough, they realized that he had left Tiberias and wasn't coming back to them. So, when the fishers came back into port, they got into the boats, crossed the Sea of Galilee, and tracked him all the way in Capernaum. These people are bread stalkers? I think I might have found my people. Jesus should give this crowd some serious brownie points. Spoiler alert, he doesn't. But this crowd, the crowd that lingered after Jesus left, remaining when the disciples even left without their teacher, this crowd is resourceful. They didn't know how Jesus crossed to the other side of the Sea of Tiberias, but when the opportunity came to join him, they jumped aboard arriving boats and traveled to meet him. And then they searched for him. And when they finally catch up to him, they ask him, pretty respectfully, Rabbi, teacher, when did you come here? Not accusatory or blaming or asking, why did you leave us? Where did you go? Which might have been my first question. Can imagine they are both genuinely curious and maybe feel they deserve an answer. After all, they have shown themselves to be faithful students by keeping track of their teacher, their rabbi's movements, and investing time to find him. Nevertheless, as Jesus' teachings reveals, maybe we can do all the right things sometimes, for maybe not quite the right reasons. Jesus healed members of this crowd and then fed them. In his actions then, Jesus acknowledges and provides for the physical needs of this crowd. His ability to do so sparks their loyalty and their hope. Jesus, more than any government official or religious leader that day, provided for them. And showing their loyalty, this crowd has worked really hard to find Jesus the next day. And they are asking him questions. But rather than praise, Jesus chastises them, exposing the shortcomings of the crowd's faithfulness. Although the crowd calls Jesus Rabbi, Jesus tells them they aren't quite ready to receive the revolutionary teaching he gives. Like his earlier assessment of fair weather followers in the Gospel of John, Jesus doesn't trust this crowd. Instead, as said earlier in John, Jesus knows what is in humanity. Jesus knows that this crowd has followed him and has worked to do so. But while they might be searching for the right person, they are doing so not for the right intentions, nor with the right questions in their hearts. Jesus also knows that this is the crowd that's eventually going to leave him and turn on him. No matter how necessary it is to cure and feed a needy crowd, Jesus says he has been sent to give something even greater, that which the crowd doesn't understand. He has been sent to give himself. However, I need to confess, I, like most other commentators on this passage, find it easy to understand the crowd's confusion. Haven't they done the right thing? Didn't they wait for Jesus, even after his disciples abandoned him? According to John's gospel, the crowd is right to follow Jesus, but they, like us today, need help to see that Jesus' life-giving mission reaches further than they could even imagine. The crowd wants Jesus to repeat signs that they already know. And Jesus basically replies, "I'm sorry. I'm not Moses. Not any more than I am Caesar or your king. And anyway, you're misunderstanding the story. Moses didn't give people bread. God gave people bread. Moses was just the in-between." To actually quote the Bible, and not just the Bible according to what I'm saying here, "Very truly I tell you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." And Jesus goes on to say, "I am the bread of life. Whoever believes in me will never be hungry. And whoever comes to me will never be thirsty." At this point, I can imagine the crowd, extremely confused, maybe frustrated and a little angry, going, "Did we come all this way for a metaphor?" Yes. Jesus never answers them fully in this moment. But did they ever ask the right questions? I've been thinking about road trips and asking questions a lot. I spent so much time asking questions, but not a single one that mattered. I moved away from Iowa, where I'm from, hence the cornfields, as a preteen, and I recently just lost all of my grandparents. I regret the questions that I did not ask, or even think to ask on those road trips. I regret asking, "Are we there yet?" every couple of minutes, and never once asking, Nana, why did you choose to bring us here? What is it about this place that's so special? What stands out? What's the story? What is it about this place that speaks to your heart? Please tell me. And I think hidden in the metaphors of this story, hidden in talking about just bread, this passage invites us to look at the world in more than just metaphors. To think about more than what does the phrase bread of life mean? We are invited to think deeply about our relationship to Jesus and to others. Like the hierarchy of needs, Jesus first makes sure that the crowd is healed and is fed, and then dives into a metaphor discussion on theology. But then we are invited to think about our whys and question, what brings us to the feet of Christ? We may not be there yet. We may not ever get there in this lifetime. But as long as we continue to come to Jesus and believe in him, we will never hunger or thirst. May it always be so for us and for our community. Amen.